Lebanon is a country on edge following 2 days of explosions targeted at personal electronic devices. On Tuesday, thousands of pagers exploded. Hundreds of walkie-talkies did the same on Wednesday. Although Israel hasn't said it was behind the attacks, it's widely believed the security agency Mossad was targeting members of Hezbollah. In all, 32 people have been killed and more than 2,000 injured. The EU's foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, said this morning that the explosions are extremely worrying and risk tipping the region into a dangerous escalation. While speaking to journalists at the National Ploughing Championships, Taoiseach Micheál Martin described what we've seen in Lebanon this week as a new departure.
I think the concern we would all have, it's a deep concern, that here is in essence a new type of modern warfare manifesting itself in a very indiscriminate and shocking way, because many, many innocent people going about their daily lives at work or shopping and so on can be victims of this type of weaponry and explosives. And indeed, young children as young as 9 were killed in this attack. And how many more people must die before we bring an end to the carnage?
And that was Micheál Martin speaking this morning. Journalist Rania Abu Zaid is in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, and she joins us now on the line. Rania, thanks for talking to us today. Can you give us a sense of what it's like in Beirut at the moment?
Well, let me start by saying that unfortunately the death toll has gone up. The health minister gave a press conference a short while ago and he said that 25 people were killed in the exploding walkie-talkies and about 600 were wounded. And some of those walkie-talkies exploded at the funerals of people who were killed a day earlier in the pager explosions. And the death toll for that attack was 12, including 2 children and a woman, and about 2,800 wounded. So, the casualty figure is extremely high. It is trauma surgeons have talked about, people who have lost eyes, who have lost hands, they said that they were removing some pages from inside the torsos of people because of the blast had just torn their insides. The Lebanese army issued a notice a short time ago, also warning people that if they see any suspicious devices, do not approach them, call the army, because they are controlled detonating some of these devices.
Given what's happened over the past 2 days, is it safe to assume that at the moment the hospitals are under huge pressure?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have seen trauma surgeons cry on TV during interviews talking about some of the horrific sort of injuries that they've seen. They are drawing parallels to the August 2020 Beirut port explosion, if you recall, and they're saying that some of the injuries are just as horrific. So, this is a city that has been traumatized by many different types of violence over these past few years, but this sets a new, it is a new type of indiscriminate warfare, as we heard in that report, and the ramifications may be broad. Today, the Lebanon's Civil Aviation Authority asked airlines operating at Beirut Airport to ban the transport of any pager or walkie-talkie communication device on board. Wait for that to come to an airport near you.
Hezbollah also has a significant political presence in Lebanon. What has the political reaction been over the past 48 hours?
Broad condemnation of this attack because of the indiscriminate nature, because of the fact that, there were people who were in grocery stores, there were people who were driving their cars, there were people who were at home with their families, and these communications devices were turned into improvised explosive devices. So there has been broad condemnation from across the usually very divided political spectrum, and the same with the citizens. Hezbollah does have more than a dozen parliamentarians. It has ministers in the cabinet. And today at 5 p.m., so in about 2 hours, the head of Hezbollah is due to give a speech to address the latest developments. And certainly every Lebanese, and no doubt a fair number of Israelis, will be listening very carefully to what he has to say.
Given what Israel has been saying about the war entering a new phase, that the phrase used by the defense minister last night, how concerned are people in Beirut, and in particular, I suppose, in southern Lebanon, about the prospect of a wider war?
It's a very real and a very worrying concern. People are asking themselves, well, was this Israel's big hit or the prelude to it? What comes next? How and when will Hezbollah respond? Today, to date, there have been six Hezbollah operations targeting military installations in northern Israel that have left at least two Israeli soldiers dead and some two dozen wounded. At the same time, there were, Israeli attacks on seven areas in southern Lebanon. So that front, the southern Lebanese front with northern Israel, has not cooled down. On the contrary, actually. And the fear is that that will explode and engulf both countries.
Rania Abu Zaid in Beirut, thank you very much for talking to us this lunchtime. Well, as we were saying there, Israel's Defence Minister Yoav Gallant has declared what he termed a new phase in its war. The centre of gravity, he said, was moving north. Jotam Confino is a Middle East correspondent for the Daily Telegraph, who's based in Jerusalem. I asked him how the Lebanese explosions were being viewed in Israel.
Yes, so first of all, the ministers in Israel's government have been instructed not to comment on this. So that's why the Israeli government is saying nothing about it. And obviously, that's a clear sign that they don't want to take responsibility for this, but they want to also let the world know that they are really behind it, because nobody is refusing the allegations from Hezbollah and from other countries. Inside Israel, most people see this as a huge strategic success, first of all, because they managed to hit that many Hezbollah members, which is a big blow to the organization. But also, Israel knows that they're on the way to a full-scale war with Hezbollah. It's inevitable. But this attack is seen as a sort of a deterrence, as a signal to Hezbollah to tell them that it's going to get much worse than this if we go into a full war. So you need to make a decision now. Either you stop attacking us, or we will eventually invade Lebanon. So this is what's being talked about inside Israel. And of course, it's also making some people nervous and anxious because, again, this is an escalation. But at the end of the day, we've seen daily attacks between Hezbollah and Israel for a year now.
Can I ask you about those fears or that nervousness, as you say, because are there not fears that a wider war will make it less likely that the remaining hostages will be released?
Yes, and that's a very good question, because what happens in Gaza is closely connected with what's happening in the north. So the most of Israelis really want a deal with Hamas to get the hostages out. Every poll indicates that. And the minute that Israel goes to war with Hezbollah, that's more or less a death sentence for the hostages. That's at least how it's being seen here. But because there's nothing that indicates that there will be a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas anytime soon, Israel has to make a decision with regards to Hezbollah in the north. It's two different arenas, but they're very closely connected, mainly because Hezbollah has said that they will continue to attack Israel on a daily basis until there's a ceasefire in Gaza. So yes, there's worry that this might be a death sentence for the hostages, but there are also those in Israel who have argued for months now that the 60,000 internally displaced people along the border with Lebanon, they should be able to return to their home a year after the massacre on October the 7th.
So in your assessment then, or the assessment of the people you've been speaking to over the past couple of days, what form is a larger Israeli offensive in southern Lebanon likely to take?
First of all, I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu will like to wait until the election in the United States in November, mainly to see who he's going to have to deal with for the next 4 years. After all, the United States is Israel's closest ally, and he would like to know who he's going to deal with before he launches a war. But it's not only up to him. A lot of things can happen that will escalate the war immediately. If Hezbollah, for example, starts firing missiles at central Israel, at Tel Aviv, that would be a declaration of war. So currently, the army is on standby on the northern border. As far as I understand, there will be a ground invasion if Israel decides to go to war. First, the Air Force will prepare the ground for the soldiers and for the tanks. They'll hit as many Hezbollah targets as possible throughout southern Lebanon. And then the soldiers and the tanks will roll in and they'll start basically taking land. They'll grab most of southern Lebanon to create a buffer zone. And then they might continue further up north, simply to eradicate Hezbollah across Lebanon.
Is that realistic, though, given the strength of Hezbollah and given that it's not just a military force, it's also a political force?
It's a good question, because what we've seen in Gaza is that Israel, which has arguably the strongest military in the Middle East, has not been able to eradicate Hamas in Gaza. But Lebanon is different, because first of all, Lebanon is not as densely populated as Gaza. And if there were to be a war between Israel and Hezbollah, it would be extremely intense, much more intense than what we've seen in Gaza, because Hezbollah has 150,000 rockets that they can bombard Israel with. Many of them are precision-guided missiles. So we assume that the first couple of days, if not weeks, it would rain down on Israel with missiles, and vice versa, inside Lebanon, Israel would eradicate at least some of the more obvious military installations belonging to Hezbollah. But the war would not last for a year, as it would in Gaza, simply because the death toll and the destruction would be so much more severe, and there would be pressure from all of the allies, both of Lebanon but also of Israel, to stop the war, to avoid it escalating into a third world war.
You're also reporting today on a separate but obviously related matter that families of the victims of the October the 7th attacks are planning to hold an alternative memorial on the first anniversary. Why is that?
It is because a lot of the bereaved families, a lot of the families of the hostages, and generally a lot of Israelis are so disappointed with how the government has handled the war. The fact that the prime minister hasn't taken full responsibility for the failure to prevent October the 7th from even happening. And also because many of the ministers haven't even visited the bereaved families. They don't really show any sympathy. So they are fed up with the government and they don't want to join the state memorial and to allow the government to basically take control of this very important day. And that's why they decided to hold an alternative memorial, which will already now has been 40,000 people have signed up to come to the memorial in the park in Tel Aviv, whereas the state memorial will be without an audience. It'll be pre-recorded without an audience, and it'll be shown on TV, of course. So it's two very, very different kind of memorials, but it really shows the division inside Israel right now when it comes to the public and, of course, the government.
Jotam Confino there of the Daily Telegraph in Israel.